May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen. So, I have a confession.
Oh, good. You do. You seem to have a lot of these, Kimberly, which is, it's very good to be so self-aware.
I know. Thank you. I do have a lot of these confessions. But I'm being very tempted these days, okay. I have to tell you. I'm pretty sure I'm succumbing to my temptations, and I'm failing at Lent, and we are not even half the way through.
Okay, well, it's very good of you to know what's going on. So, do you have the details of your confession?
I do.
Okay, great.
I do. So, the first thing is that I am really, really tempted to want to buy and eat as many Entenmann's chocolate donuts as there are.
That is a confession I truly understand. I get that temptation. I really do.
I know. I know you do. I know that's why I can tell you these things. Okay, so, but here's the other one.
Okay.
Okay. I am really tempted to read only articles and to listen to only those newscasts on NPR that are giving me more and more of the same information about the coronavirus.
You want to hear it over and over again?
Yeah, I mean, to the point where I literally cannot put my phone down.
Yeah.
I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm waiting for the New York Times to, like, refresh for a new story because I think that there's going to be, like, one new thing that I'm going to know.
And what is that new information going to give you?
More anxiety.
Right.
Truly.
And it's funny because I feel like you've already made your decisions, right? You have decided to socially distance. You're not, you're not sending your kids to school right now. And so all of this new information that might come forth, it's not actually changing any of your decisions that you're making. I would say that being informed is important, right? Like, we all need to know what to do, how to stay safe, and that kind of thing. But being tempted by the onslaught of news that only raises your anxiety maybe is not the healthiest choice right now.
Well, so here's the thing. I totally agree with you, which is why I have brought it here in confession.
Okay.
But you know, I do have to say, I want to tell you what was really helpful the other night when I couldn't sleep and my mind was racing. And I broke the cycle of temptation momentarily.
Wow, what did you do? Tell us all.
Okay, I got out my phone.
Your phone? No, not your phone!
Don't judge me. Wait, don't judge me yet, okay? Don't judge me yet. I got out my phone and I opened my ECP app.
Oh. So you got to tell everyone what the ECP app is.
Okay, This is so awesome. The ECP is the Electronic Common Prayer. It is the Book of Common Prayer in an app. Okay, it's really, really awesome. It's so awesome.
It's $10.
I know.
It's very awesome.
So I opened my app.
Okay.
I went to the section of the daily office.
Right.
Okay. I did the prayers for the close of the day for the daily devotions.
So nice.
Yeah, it was great. And then I went to the daily readings, and I actually prayed the gospel from yesterday. Don't ask me why I chose Saturday. I jumped ahead.
Yeah.
And the gospel reading was just what I needed in my prayer time. And while nothing had changed in the world outside at all, everything was still the same.
Yeah.
Okay. I had no new information.
Right.
Like, no new news.
No.
In that time that I took, a lot had changed in my heart.
Huh. That makes a lot of sense to me that you were able to find some calm praying by praying and reading the scriptures, because people have been finding consolation and revelation and joy in scriptures for centuries now. And if we think about the Psalms that are even more ancient, right, when many of them were written for hard times, and they express some real despair and some like anger at God sometimes too, but how can I be in this situation? And others were written like the one that we had today, where it's really praising God, right? And the story of Exodus, where the Ten Commandments come from, has been this incredibly liberating story for folks for centuries, inspiring other people to desire liberation and to seek it too.
Yeah. Although there's something interesting that we get today in the Hebrew Testament, isn't it?
Totally.
It's so interesting because what we get is actually a lot of fear.
Yep.
And this idea that there's just not going to be enough. Like, they're actually looking for water. Like, everyone else is looking for hand sanitizer right now. The Israelites were looking for water.
Right.
I mean, I think that's so interesting.
Fascinating.
The parallel here, right?
Yeah, it really is.
And then what happens? What is it that happens in their relationship with God? And I think that also is then the really interesting thing of this.
When they are being so fearful, when they are searching for water without a sense that there is an abundance in what God has offered them, their relationship with God is really broken.
It is, but then Moses is saying, like, okay, what am I supposed to do with them? Hope is not lost. I mean, I think that in all of this, right, that hope is not lost, and that there is an ability, if we can just remember where to turn to.
Even in really trying times.
Even in really, really trying times, that God's there, right?
Yeah, and in our Gospels, too. The Gospels, we think about them, and Jesus' life unfolded during really difficult times, of course. And the Gospels were recorded during maybe even more difficult times.
They were incredibly trying times. They were scary times. They were violent times. There was a lot of political instability. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of hunger then as well, especially for poor folks. And we also know, if we look at what so many of these gospel stories are, it's people coming to Jesus for healing. So we know there's actually a lot of illness at that time, too.
You know, I've just got to say, Kimberly, all of this feels very familiar to our times today. And when you start, like, listing all of these things that are going on, I'm starting to feel anxious again, and I'm just wondering if maybe this is a good time for an Entenmann's donut.
It could be. I mean, they have some at the deli, but I really think that we should stick with the scripture right now.
Fine. Okay. So in today's scripture, we have Jesus meeting the woman by the well. And every time when we looked back at our sermons from previous third Sundays in Lent, we noticed that Kimberly and I both focused on the woman and how she's an outsider and how she was viewed by people of her times. But this time, as we approach this scripture, we find something fresh and new. Whether or not this woman is an outsider isn't relevant to us in this moment in time.
I know. Right at this moment, if we think of scripture as something living that we're constantly engaging in, I think that what mattered most to us in this one is we're not trying to minimize her outsider status, but at this moment, in the midst of this pandemic, what is speaking to us is her relationship with Jesus, regardless of her status.
Right. And I think the woman and Jesus, what we found fascinating is they're engaging in this deep, probing conversation about faith during this time, right? He asks her for a drink, and she doesn't just give him the drink of water. She doesn't just give it to him. She instead questions him and engages him, and he engages her. And it's not in, like, small talk like you might do with a barista at Starbucks. It's not just in this exchange about the water. Indeed, they're finding out more about each other and about their commonality and their ancestor Jacob. And he learns about her husbandlessness, but not without a man. And he understands what this kind of a situation might have meant for a woman of her time. And she realizes quickly that not only is he a prophet, but the Messiah. And just as this is revealed, just as this moment cracks open, the disciples arrived. And they're astonished that he's speaking with this woman, right? And what does she do? Well, she doesn't run away. Instead, she goes back to her home city and begins to proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. She does this to people who are Samaritans, like her, people who wouldn't have heard anything about Jesus, right? Yet, people who would also have looked on her like the disciples did.
Right. So, wait, I just want to go back to this idea that she has some recognition about who Jesus is and that the Messiah is in their midst. I mean, she's a little questioning, but at the same time, she kind of knows that it's there.
Yeah, she indeed proclaims her faith in the Messiah. She says, I know that the Messiah is coming. And she and Jesus are having this conversation about what they share as people of God and who God is, who Jesus is, and it becomes revealed in the midst of conversation when they engage one another, when they listen to one another, when they even actually acknowledge some of the differences in their backgrounds. Who God is becomes more clear.
This is actually really amazing. And I think about what the experience is like for her talking to Jesus and then going back to the city with, you know, and not keeping silent. I mean, she didn't keep silent. She went to deliver this message when people might not have wanted this message. Sounds maybe familiar, you know, to what we go through. And she delivers the good news to people. That's what she's doing. She's delivering good news. And folks listen to her, and then they come and they encounter Jesus themselves, and they now are entering into that relationship as well.
Right.
And there's something incredibly interesting about the barriers that people have actually put down at this moment in order to listen to her.
Right.
I mean, that's really important, is that the barriers are decreasing at this moment when she goes back into the city and she is telling people that she is pretty sure that she has just met the Messiah. And I think it really speaks to us at this time right now about the barriers that we today have. First, physical barriers, and then psychological and emotional barriers that are actually building at the same time that we're building these physical barriers.
Yeah.
You know, look, it's safe right now for us to have some physical barriers. Mm-hmm. I really, really think that. But we actually may need to reflect and start taking down some of those internal barriers that are building up at the same time, you know, those anxiety barriers, so that we can be there for each other right now.
Right. And so we are these people who are currently putting up these necessary physical barriers, but it's these other kind of barriers that get in the way of our being able to be relational with one another, right? When we keep pressing refresh over and over again to get more information, or we keep the TV blaring 12 hours a day, I don't know, we're creating these walls of anxiety around ourselves that don't allow for much else, let alone being in conversation and relationship.
And the fact is that, like, this is what I experienced this week. I mean, and this is what I'm sort of constantly experiencing. You know, there is a certain level of anxiety that we are all going to experience in these coming weeks, and we can't avoid it. But in our scripture today, we are reminded of the importance of relationship. I think that that's really a takeaway for us. But a specific type of relationship. And we're reminded of that relationship in our other readings as well, which is that relationship with God.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's the relationship with God. And I think that we need to think about that for a moment. And we need to think about where we are right now in that relationship. You know, is our faith being tested at this moment? Is our faith being strengthened? Because for some of us, maybe this is a time where we automatically feel a strengthening of our faith. Are there ways that we're needing God more? That we're feeling that? Maybe we're feeling God's absence. Maybe I need a psalm to say, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Right. And for some of us, it might not just be a need for conversation, but maybe we have a need right now for communal prayer, coming together in that kind of a way.
Yeah, I mean, we just want to say that whichever way that it is for you, just be aware of some of those internal barriers that are going up right now. And what we're going to do here is we're going to be providing you with opportunities to connect with us, with each other, and most importantly,
with God.
Right?
Yeah.
In discussion and in prayer.
And it just kind of reminds us why it's important to stay connected with each other and with God through times of troubles. So be on the lookout later today for some more information from us about virtual contemplative prayer and Compline and discussion groups.
You know, God is really steadfast and has seen humanity through so many things in the history of the world. Putting our trust in God does not mean that difficult things do not happen. I think that that's where we sometimes get sort of tripped up, right?
Yeah.
We think that if we have faith in God, then nothing bad is ever going to happen.
Right?
Yeah. But they do, and they are. You know, putting our trust in God means that we're strengthened by God and each other, knowing that we're not alone in facing what comes our way.
Amen.
Amen.